This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline from CSURams.com, Mike Brohard. Mike, my friend, great to see you bright and early. It was cold, but I tell you what, for when I was there, I had a lot of fun.
It was cold, and I'm still thawing out, but yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, you were out there, like, I mean, you're probably just now getting in. I left around, 8:30 or so. I underdressed for that, so I'm thinking Thursday, maybe a couple of pair of socks this time around.
I needed to definitely wear warmer socks. They were kind of thin today.
Yeah.
Got to upgrade my game there. The knit hat was a bonus. Definitely remembered my gloves. That was a plus. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, it was good. It was good to go out and see football again, and see obviously a different style of football that's being played.
Yeah, I mean, that was obviously the takeaway there. And I know it's day one, and we're not seeing everything just yet, but it's clear, right, Mike? Right from the beginning, you're seeing these quarterbacks go back and forth, throwing it deep down the field. I'm seeing Matt Mummy jumping around, getting excited. Coach Norvell getting excited. Give us your main takeaways from today. Obviously, that kind of being one of them, right? Was already some excitement on the when it comes to the offensive side.
Yeah, when you sit there and look at it, like I wrote a story last week about the air raid and what it means. And so, like, the first thing that struck me is there's no playbook for the air raid, which I thought was fascinating. The fact that it can be installed in 3 days is also fascinating. But Norvell always told you he has a fascination with throwing the ball deep, and he thinks it's important. And some of that stems from his days with the Raiders and conversations he had with Al Davis. You know, make a defense, protect every blade of grass or turf, as is the case nowadays. On the field, all 120 yards, not just 100 yards, but the 10 yards in the end zones. And he said to get that mantra to throw deep, you actually have to practice it. If you're going to have the guts to throw it deep on first or second or third or fourth down, you better practice it. And that's what you saw today. When they're running routes on air, they're throwing a lot of deep balls because their quarterback's going to be called upon to do it. Now, it's not the only ball they're going to throw, but they want them comfortable with it. And you saw quarterbacks out there today that were getting comfortable with throwing the deep ball. Clay Millen's obviously comfortable throwing it already. But some of the younger guys, the two true freshmen that are in camp, they're going to get used to throwing that ball. They're going to get used to throwing deep. And that's a promise, and it's an operation. It's a practice operation, and they showed it today. He's a man of his word.
No question about it. It was fun to see it. All these different receivers all over the place, too. And, Mike, I have to ask, I always say, Mike Brohard, you're the guy with the scoop before the scoop. Is it right now, is it Clay Millen's job to lose, or is it way too soon to even talk about that? What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are it's way too soon to talk about it. Now, if you want to look at a pecking order, yeah, he's the guy with the most experience in the offense. He already knows it all. The other guys are still learning it. Evan Lays, he has to learn the offense. Jackson and Brandon both have to learn the offense. They're true freshmen. So, yeah, Clay has to have the heads up. But, like I said, they're going to be able to install this offense five times in the course of spring ball. They're going to be able to work on it over the summer and then go into fall camp. So, do you want to name a starter now? No. But if you want a guy that's leading the ones, it's Clay, and it's obvious why.
We're talking to Mike Brohard of CSURams.com and RamWire Insider. A lot of wide receivers. I mean, we're getting pumped to see what this crew's going to do. You know, they're going to be churning them out left and right if they're going to go deep a lot throughout the course of the season. Mike, where does Dante Wright fit in all of this? I for one, was really happy to see him. I mean, he was involved a lot early today. Do you see him being a huge part of this team, the offense, or kind of a more of a role player? Where do you think he stacks up? A lot of Rams fans wondering.
I think he fits in perfectly. I mean, this is what he does really, really well. This offense is designed to give playmakers a ball in space. Dante's a playmaker. He can make plays when he's in space. And this offense is going to allow him to do that. I mean, Now, will he be asked to do it in the same way that he was in years past? No, because even Mike Bobo would use him as an outside receiver because he had the speed for it. But, you know, you see guys coming in like Torrey Horton, they're big, tall wideouts or targets. They're going to do that. But, you know, you bring in a Melquan Stovall from Nevada, who's obviously very good for them in the slot. Dante fits in very, very well in the slot here. And he can very much be a big part of a passing offense. I don't think there's any question to that whatsoever.
So far, Mike, talk to us about the feel, the vibe. I mean, it was kind of noticeable for me, I guess. I don't know. It was cold. I was really taking notice of Matt Mummy. He was very active, very energetic, running around there. Certainly pumped up. It's day one. But from your perspective, obviously you've been around these guys since they were hired and now seeing them put it together on the field. Can you talk to us? We don't have to go to the past necessarily, but just the difference of feel with this coaching staff, with this group of players?
Well, number one, I think there's the obvious. You've got a new coaching staff, and it's spring ball. It's a new era. There's going to be some excitement, number one, just in that flow, not comparing one staff to the other. It's just there's excitement for spring camp starting. They're out there playing football. This is what they love to do. They're excited to do this. They've just spent eight weeks, you know, showing up, some of them at 5:30 in the morning to lift weights and condition. This is the fun part. You know, they've put in a bunch of what they call the grit work, and they've done this. So this is the fun part. They get to go out and practice. So naturally, energy is going to be up. But on the flip side, yeah, you've got some guys on the staff with energy. Freddie, he's got energy. You know, your defensive coordinator has plenty of energy. Matt Mummy has plenty of energy. Jay Norvell has energy. Jordan Simmons has energy. There's a lot of this, and a couple of players talked about it afterwards. You know, it's a younger coaching staff. You know, Chuck Heater had been around the game for decades and decades. Brian White had been around the game for decades and decades. And while they both had their own style of enthusiasm, this is more of a youthful type. And I think the vibe, as you called it, as I called it, everybody calls it, you know, kind of clicks with the players.
Yeah, I think you're right on, man. I mean, you got that sense quickly. And with me, I'm always just kind of, you're skeptical on this stuff, but because you never know what to expect day one. They're going to be pumped up. But again, it was just a different feel from all of it, you know, going back to Twitter, even seeing the coaches tweeting stuff out. Jay Norvell, I'm a big symbolism guy. I like the tap in thing. I like to, obviously the attire coach chose to wear today. Tell us a little bit about that and what coach had to say about it, Mike.
Well, it's basically a garage mechanic shirt, and it looks exactly like it. So he's got the name patch that says Jay on it on the left shoulder, and on the right shoulder it says CSU football. You know, and his pants are like a workman's type khakis. You know, they're mountain khakis, a specific brand. Not quite construction pants, you know, where you got the little hook to put your hammer in, but the same type of symbolism to it. So, yeah, it's, you know, roll up your sleeves, you know, get your hands greasy and let's get to work. You know, let's dig into this. And that's what it is. And the tap in is kind of a way, as you first come out on the field, you touch that sign and it's, you know, your signal that you're ready to go. This is time to start. Let's get going.
Yeah, I think Mr. Neves even made us tap in. So, I mean, we had to be ready to go, Mike. Talk to us about the defensive side of the ball. Freddie Banks, I'm really excited for him. We know him for his time with the Big Sky Conference. What about the defensive side of the ball? I mean, we've certainly talked about, you know, the four air raid, all that stuff with Mummy, with Jay Norvell. He wrote the book on wide receivers. What can we expect, again, so early on, but from what you're getting, what kind of defense do you think this is going to be for the Rams?
Yeah. So, like, I'm somebody that my first job was up in North Dakota, and I went to UNC, so I'm familiar with North Dakota State. And that style of defense has been around for a while. And it's an aggressive defense. It's a stand your ground. It's create turnovers. It's very simplistic. But they want them to be very good at what they do, and that's what they're going to focus on doing. Not do, you know, a ton that you know, get overly creative, but be really good at what you do and be very base at it. The other thing I thought was interesting the first time we met Freddie Banks was, you know, he talked about, you got certain guys that maybe aren't 60 snap guys, but they've got one skill that they're really good at, and we're going to use that for those 10 or 20 snaps. And so I think you might see some rotation in that way. Like, if you've got guys that just maybe they're not great at stopping the run, but they can rush the passer, you'll see them on passing downs. That could be with defensive linemen. That could be with linebackers. I think you're also going to see a different style. You'll see it more, I think, when this defense learns the scheme and when you see them in pads, but a more physical approach on the corners. You know, they want guys that can play press coverage and man-to-man coverage. So we've seen a lot of zone around here lately. We're going to see a lot more press coverage, and they're going out to find guys that are physical enough to do that. So I think the defense, I don't want to jump to any conclusions in the spring, because I think there's a lot of teaching that goes on for that, especially, you know, when you look at the offense. You brought over a Millen, you brought over a Horton, you brought over a Stovall, you brought over a handful of linemen. You brought over guys that know the system, so it's going to look better right off the bat. You also got guys on that side of the ball that have played in that system that can teach the guys that were still here. You don't have that same dynamic on defense. So it's all going to be fresh and taught, and that's going to take a little bit more time to go through. So, but I think by the end of spring, you would like to see what it looks like. But I wouldn't make any snap judgments on what the defense is going to look like after one day, let alone after the first scrimmage.
We're talking to Mike Brohard of CSURams.com. Mike, can you tell our listeners about some of the key returners? Obviously, we talked about Dante Wright for a moment there, but the key returners that Coach Norvell looked at and really wants to build around, so to speak. I know he got a lot of guys from Nevada coming over, but some of those key guys outside of Dante Wright that you expect to make a big impact, even though we have a new offensive scheme and a new defensive scheme.
Ty McCall is one at receiver, because you're going to need so many receivers. And I think Ty came on really well at the end of last year and gained some confidence, started to be more secure with the ball, more sure-handed on his routes. So I think that's good. Gary Williams, I think, is fascinating, as you know, because he had a pretty good year as a backup to Trey, actually had more touchdowns than he did, had some explosive plays. I think he fits in well as a tight end in this system. Defensively, you know, you look at the return of Cameron and Daquan at the linebacker. I also look at Muhammad Kamara. I think he can make an impact on this kind of defense. And then I think people forget, you know, because you had Scott Patchen and Manny Jones and Toby McBride around for years, Devin Phillips has been a really good interior defensive lineman ever since he stepped on campus, and I don't expect that to change. So I think he's going to be really good. I also think you look at the back end and the secondary, what you do have, and that's mostly at safety, and you've got Henry Blackburn, you've got Jack Howell, who played really well as a true freshman last year, and you got Taiwan Francis, who played really, really well, I thought, as he goes into his last year. So I think you've got some guys that you can build around. And like I said, mostly on the defensive side, they're going to be learning a new system, and how quickly they adjust to that will be key. But you've got some guys that can make some plays.
Yeah, I'm getting pumped just listening to you talk about this team. Like I said, Mike gets the scoop before there's a scoop. My friend, I'm looking forward to more practices and seeing what this team's all about. I know it was a bummer of a way to end the basketball season, but such a special season. The cool thing is, Mike, we get to quickly turn the page, and now we get excited about football.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on. I mean, you know, the tennis team beat CU for the first time ever. They did that last week. You've got a track team. A track program, which is dynamic. You know, the women are coming off the indoor championship. They're going to go after an outdoor, so will the men. So there's a lot of things to be excited about at CSU, and one of them should be the men's basketball season, even the women's basketball season. I mean, 21 wins for that program was really good this year. The men getting back to the NCAAs for the first time since 2013 is a great sign. You look at that team, the majority of it will be back. And they'll add some pieces to it, and some guys will get better. And there should be a lot to be excited about.
Yeah, no question about it. Mike, my friend, appreciate you as always. And, of course, what you guys did today, making it open to not only the media, but, you know, there were some fans running around there bright and early. I pulled in, and there was a couple of fans sitting on the tailgate at, like, 6:45 in the morning. So I thought that was pretty cool for CSU.
Yeah, Jay said he's already has launched. He did it in Nevada. He had open practices there. Let people come in. He's very inviting. Said they're not doing anything. They don't have any secrets. They're just going at it. So let them go ahead and do that. And, you know, it gives people a chance in the community to kind of wrap their arms around this program, see what's going on, get involved with it, It's very inviting to former players when they want to come back to just kind of stand around and watch and see and get to meet them. So who knows?
It sure seems
I think a lot of people are going to like the fact that, you know, there's open practices.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it sure seems like being open to not only the media, but your fan base. I mean, that's what we saw with the basketball team. It's what we see with a lot of fun teams. That to me strengthens a fan base, even when you might go through some tough times. When a fan base really knows you and really feels like you're open to them, I do feel like they'll be there to help pick you up a little bit during some of those lean times. We shall see. Mike Brohard, my friend, what are you working on that we can check out? I know you got some stuff for us based on today, too.
Yeah, I just wrote about just kind of the newness of today and what spring practice is really all about. So that one's already out. And I've got some other things I've got to work on down the road. I would like to work on some things on track, so I'm trying to get some of those things settled. And, you got still, even around sports that aren't officially being played, but they're still working. You've got, the soccer team. They're still in their first year under Keeley Hagan. They've got spring drills going on, and Tom Hilbert's volleyball program, they've got spring drills going on. So there'll be plenty to keep me busy.
Mike, couple of texts for you here. I got a question. Somebody wants to know, how can they get the shirt? Are those shirts available that Jay Norvell was wearing today? I was asking that myself. Is that something you know about? You have an inside scoop there?
I haven't seen where he gets them, but I suppose that's something that we could look into and find out. But yeah, I think if you went to your local, Dickies kind of retailer, you could probably get one made pretty easy.
You probably could. You're right. The Weld County Swami says, love hearing Brohard talking attire. This person must know you. Any ideas on how he feels about Hawaiian shirts? Yeah, maybe Jay Norvell will break out a Hawaiian shirt for you, Mike.
I've worn a couple over there, and they've asked me what that was all about. And so, as I tell everybody, I said, Hawaiian shirts are a reminder that life is supposed to be fun. And that's what it is. So I don't think anybody's opposed to him. I don't know that he'll be breaking them out.
Nobody.
Jason Chain would have been a fan.
Yeah. Nobody wears them better than you, my friend. So you just keep doing it.
I don't think anybody wears them as often as I do. That's what you're trying to say. So.
I tried to pull it off once. Believe it or not, I have a Hawaiian shirt. I can't do it. I'm too uptight, I guess. Mike, my friend, appreciate you as always. And
Are you anti-fun? Is that what you're telling me, Brady?
I try not to be, I guess. I don't know. You guys are giving me crap because I get up so early today. Maybe I need friends. Maybe that's what it is. What are you doing later tonight, man? Let's hang out.
Nobody should get up at 4 a.m.
I know. James is looking at me like my producer's looking at me like I'm crazy right now. Most people kind of give me the same reaction. I don't know, man. Like I said, I need a friend or two. We'll figure it out.
All right,
buddy. We'll see you.
You work on that.
Probably see you Thursday then.
I think you will.
All right, man. We'll talk to you then.
All right,
Mike,
take care.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. I love getting up early. Getting up early, man, it's the best. Be a member. Who's joining me? Be a member of the 4 a.m. Club. I've tried to recruit people here from the station. Jaden's looking. I mean, you're 8 years old, though. I mean, you go to bed at like 2 in the morning, and then you get up at 11. You get here just in time to do the show. And enjoy that. Because the older you get, the more you're like, there's just more things I can do in the mornings. Trust me. 38 minutes after the hour, short break coming up. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.